Hi, this is Melissa Wood Tepperberg, and this is the Move with Heart podcast.
Are you ready?
Just breathe it all in.
I want to talk.
I can't lie.
I was like, it's going to be short, sweet, and very spicy.
And we're going to get right into it because apparently some of you think I talk too much.
I have been following Marie Forleo for as long as I can remember. She inspired me to truly build a website, put a paywall up, and create a subscription business long before people were really doing this in the digital fitness space. She has created a socially conscious digital empire that inspires millions and millions of people. Oprah named her a thought leader for the next generation, and she is the owner of one of Inc.'s 500 fastest growing companies. She is the star of an award-winning show, Marie TV, with over 75 million views. She's also the host of the Marie Forleo podcast, and she is the founder and creator of The B School. This is an online business coaching guide. She's been doing this for a really long time. I have gained some of my most valuable advice from this woman. She has built a wildly successful online training experience for entrepreneurs and value-driven creatives who want to build a meaningful, profitable business. So whether you're just starting out or looking to take your existing company to new heights, she has created a true step-by-step training guides that give you the tools and support you need to fast-track your growth. She's incredible. She's funny. She's cool. She's so real in the way in which she shares all of her tips and tricks. I love her personality. Her presence is just so powerful and strong, and she is truly one of the most incredible leaders in our space. When I think of you, I just think of consistent as fuck with everything that you've shared over all of these years.
Thank you. Definitely has not been easy, but it's like the one thing that I can control in a very uncontrollable, ever-changing, ever-evolving world, which is awesome. And we love that. But it's like the only thing that I can really hang on to and go, this is within my grasp, is how I show up and showing up, even if it's not perfect.
That's one of my favorite things that you share, is just starting. And I remember, oh my God, it brings me back to such a different place in my life when I like started following you and just... It was very much like, you don't necessarily want to wait until you're ready because you'll be waiting a really long time.
And the rest of your life.
The rest of your life. Like,
yeah.
I was so scared, and I was very much in the place of watching everyone do it and do it really well around me that truly stood in my way for a while.
Well, it's hard, I think, for anyone who has an ambition or a vision or a possibility of what they want to see come alive, who they want to become. There's always a gap between our ambition and our ability. And for most of us, especially if we have perfectionist tendencies, which most of us have, I mean,
massive.
It's been with me my whole life. It'll be with me my whole life. And it's like my ability to dance with that. So I stay on the side where it's high standards, excellence, progress, growth, and not spilling over into debilitating perfectionism, beating yourself up. It's never good enough, never shipping, never getting anything out. And that really is a dance. And I always don't get that dance right, but I try and just stay on that line. But recognizing that there's always going to be a gap between your ambition and your ability, I just think it's so honest and healthy. And the only way that we start to bridge that gap is through action. It's through allowing yourself to be messy and just getting in the game and messing around and trying. And I think that's kind of the biggest lesson for our egos. And at the same time, it's the only way that we can actually close that ambition and ability gap.
You are such a truth teller, and you've always shared just your vulnerability of how you started in this space. And
yes.
I find this story so profound because you were at one of your lowest of lows, especially financially. And how do you take that moment and then decide to turn it into something incredible.
Taking it back, do you want to go back to like Wall Street days?
I want to go back.
Yeah. So I remember my first job ever on Wall Street on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. And I was really excited because I've always been a human that has a lot of energy. So after graduating from school, thinking about sitting at a desk, that just didn't feel right. I was like, no, it's not me. So here I am on Wall Street, floor of the New York Stock Exchange. Everyone around me is making like a gajillion dollars, 99.9% men. This is 1997, 1998. And I was just like so grateful to have a job because I'm the first one in my family to ever go to college. My parents busted their buns. I have health insurance. I have a steady paycheck. This job is like very prestigious. And after about 6 months, Melissa, I started having this little voice come up, which was like, Marie, this isn't who you are. This isn't what you're meant to do. This isn't who you're supposed to be. And I tried to shush that voice a lot. I was like, not listening. Can't do it. Come up to work. Have your game face on. And over time, that voice got louder and louder and louder. So one day I show up for work and I wasn't feeling great and couldn't really breathe. My heart was racing. I was starting to feel physically ill. And I said to my boss, I was like, hey, I need to step outside and go grab a coffee. Is that okay? He's like, cool. So I didn't go grab a coffee. I made a beeline to the nearest church. I just graduated from a Catholic university and I was kind of trained since birth that when you have a challenge, you look up and you ask for some help. So I'm sitting on the church steps, crying my eyes out. And I was like, God, if this is you giving me this sign to you're not supposed to be here. This isn't what you're supposed to do. This is what you're meant to be. But you're not telling me what else I'm supposed to do instead. And this is like panic stricken. And so the next message I got was call your dad. And so I whipped out my flip phone because that was the time. And I call my dad and I'm doing the ugly cry. And I'm like, Dad, I'm so sorry. I've tried everything. I can't stand this job. I know how hard you and mom worked to put me through college, but I just can't do this anymore. And he interrupted me and he's like, Bree, calm down. You've worked since you were nine. I'm not worried about you keeping a roof over your head. But if this job is making you this sick, I'm going to give you a piece of advice. You're going to spend the next 40 to 50 years of your life working. You have to find something you love. And if this isn't it, then you need to quit and go figure out what it is you're meant to do. And I remember hanging up from that phone call. And even though my dad didn't tell me how to find something I loved, it was the permission slip that I needed to not bring shame upon my family for quitting a job and not having any backup plan. So the only two things I knew was that I really loved business. My dad was a small business owner, and I really loved creativity. I was an artist as a kid. I was constantly drawing. I thought I was going to be a fashion designer or an animator for Disney when I grew up. And so I was like, how do I combine these two things? Because Wall Street definitely isn't it. And what came to my mind was the world of women's magazines. I was like, this must be it. There's like the commerce side, there's the creative side. And I went to a temp agency and I got a job at Gourmet Magazine, Condé Nast. And I was like, okay, this is awesome. First of all, it was a completely different ratio. Like Wall Street was 99.9% men. I was constantly getting hit on. It was just a friggin' nightmare to get taken seriously. And now in this environment, it was like 98% women. And the publisher of the magazine was a woman. I'm like, oh my God, this is awesome. I'm going to learn all these new things. So I was on the ad sales side and I was like, this is great. I'm learning new things. It's a much different environment. It's awesome. And that voice came back though. Marie, this isn't who you are. This isn't what you're supposed to do. This isn't who you're meant to be. And I'm like, are you frigging kidding? What is going on now? And I tried to step back and take a more objective look. And I was like, okay, Wall Street was very business. This ad sales thing, this is very business. Maybe I'm starving my creativity. Maybe wanting to be an artist, maybe I need to just develop more of that side of myself. And so I went to the HR department. I said, hey, if you have any job open on the editorial side of any magazine, I'll take it. I don't care if I'll take a pay cut, doesn't matter. Just whenever something comes up, I'm your girl. And a few months later, there was an opening at Mademoiselle magazine, no longer in existence, but I'm sure you remember it. It was a great women's fashion magazine, and they got me a job over there, and I moved over to that magazine. I'm like, this has got to be it. This is amazing. An incredible environment. I'm going to fashion shows. I'm helping designers. It's everything I could have wanted. It's super exciting and wonderful. And Melissa, wouldn't you know it, 6 months in, that friggin' same voice came back. Marie, this isn't who you are. This isn't what you're supposed to do. This isn't who you're meant to be. And now at this point, I felt broken. I was like, I love working. I want to make my way in the world. I have a really strong work ethic. Why can I not stay in any job? This does not make sense. And so I started to feel like, do I have some type of cognitive disability? Do you know what I mean? That I can't focus at one thing for long enough? All of my friends were getting married, having kids, building these lives. And here I was just at the bottom rung again and again and again. And I stumbled upon something on the internet, which was the very early days of the internet, when I was on it, probably when I shouldn't have been. And it was an article about a new profession at the time called coaching. I'm not kidding you, Melissa. Something inside of me lit up like a Christmas tree. It felt like the clouds had parted and there was these little angels that were around, and it was like, ah, like this is what you're meant to do. At the same time, the voice in my head said this, Marie, what are you talking about? A life coach? This is the cheesiest, stupidest thing you have ever come up with. You're 23 years old. You're a failure. You're deep in debt. Who the hell is going to hire a 23-year-old life coach when you haven't even lived life yet? You are such a loser. This is one more thing you're going to fail at. So I had that voice happening, yet I had the soul recognition that there was something there. I remember going home that night and signing up on the spot for a 3-year coach training program. It was all done via teleclass at the time. Again, now we're talking like 1999-ish. And I continued my magazine job during the day, and I started my coach training at night because I couldn't help myself, because it was so aligned with something inside of me. Fast forward, I get a call from HR, from Condé Nast. It was a job opportunity to get a promotion to go to Vogue. So here I was with this fork in the road. Do you say yes to the top fashion magazine in the world, better pay, definitely prestigious, everyone understands what you do, there is a clear career path, or do you quit and do this weird life coaching thing that you think sounds cheesy as hell, but you love it? You have no money, you've never started a business, you're deep in debt, what do you do? And of course, I said no to the Vogue opportunity. I said yes to myself. And I said, you know what? I've never started a business, but lots of people have. And I'm going to go back to doing what I did to put myself through college, partially, which was waiting tables and bartending. And so I quit my job and I started bartending, waiting tables again, and figured out how to build a life coaching business during the day.
Oh, it gives me chills. Because we've all had those moments. I mean, every story you're telling about like the next job, like I've been there when I was just denying that voice,
yes.
Right? And I think for me, it was before I had really started cultivating a practice with myself. And it was kind of like, I wasn't as tapped into it, to, I guess you could say, to listening to it. Like I heard it, but I didn't listen to it. And I remember stepping foot, literally, it was like my feet stepped foot into the door of like a job I had just taken. And that second I was like, this isn't it. But I maintained as much as I could, because I'm like, I said yes to this. Like I felt like a failure myself if I just decided to quit right away. So yep. 3 months into the job, and then I got pregnant, and it was like kind of absolutely insane. And it just ended up bringing me down the path to where I am. But it, when you hear that voice, how do you guide people to lean into it more?
So all of us have that inner voice. It's our intuition. It's our gut instinct. It's our natural knowing. It's infinite intelligence. If you believe in a God or a higher power, I believe that is what is speaking to you through that inner voice. And in terms of how to guide people to listen to it more, I think one of the best ways to start to understand what your voice sounds like and what it feels like is to actually do a little bit of investigation into your past. What I mean by that is this. Most of us have had experiences in life where we had that little voice speak up, and it could have been about a job. It might have been about a relationship. It could be about a particular opportunity, or saying yes to going on a trip, or saying yes to working with someone on a project, where your ego overrode that voice and you thought you were either going to get ahead, you were going to look good to yourself, you were going to be your best self in some way, it was going to make you a lot of money, right? There was something that you overrode. And then when you look back in hindsight, you're like, that was a shitty decision. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And you're like, oh, I should have listened to that red flag. Oh, I should have listened to that little butterfly feeling in my stomach that was like, don't do it. Oh, I should have looked more at the paperwork. Oh, I should have trusted whatever that weird, iggly feeling was that was trying to pull me away from this shiny object that everyone was pushing me towards. And so I think if you investigate with a sense of self-compassion and curiosity in your past where you overrode your intuition, that's what gives you your first clue of what it sounds like for you. For me, it's not like I hear a voice as though it was purely audible. You know what I mean? And like, I'm hearing voices outside, but there are words and there are sounds and feelings. Some people get pictures. Some people have just visceral sensations. So for me, that often comes up a lot too. In my belly, there's a sense of dread. My body starts to contract, so my shoulders might get tight. I might physically move back in space. Sometimes my head almost subconsciously starts to go no, or I just feel the life drain out of me. Mm-hmm. And so I've learned to pay attention to those cues. And we actually talk about it on our team all the time. When we talk about opportunities or possibilities within our company, it's our common shared language that if we're like, this feels heavy, this feels like dead, like I'm already tired. That's one of the things we'll be like, oh, like thinking about doing this, like I already need to take a nap. That's a big intuitive no.
Right. That's been something that I have really paid attention to this past year because I feel, and I want you to dive so much deeper on this because there is this pressure, I think, when it comes to this social media era that we're all living in to do everything and to be on every platform and to, I think, dive into every opportunity because it's there. And if you don't take it, it will pass you by. And it's so draining.
It's unsustainable. So a couple things that you highlighted. One is FOMO, which we'll talk about that, the fear of missing out, right? So that is actually rooted in a notion of scarcity, that there's not enough. So that's rooted in this idea that something can pass you by. That's rooted in this notion that if you don't grab everything that's in front of you right now, that you're never going to have it. It's rooted in an idea that there is not enough. And if you don't act immediately, somehow you're going to be left behind. And that is the biggest, most destructive, most toxic bullshit idea on earth. So that's one piece of it. Then the other thing in terms of being everywhere and being everything all at once, it is the most unwise strategic business decision, especially for creators, especially for content creators. You know, I don't know if we were actually recording when you and I talked about this, but I appreciated you had shared with me that one of the words that comes to mind when you think of me is consistency. And after doing this for 22 years, there is no possible way that I could still be here, sitting here with you, having so much fun, feeling so good, if I tried to be everywhere and be everything all at once. It is the most toxic, destructive, unsustainable way to keep doing what we love. And I think that it all comes down to this notion of scarcity. It comes down to this notion that there's not enough and that we can't take our time. And so I just wanted to highlight that because I think, you know, I've helped over 80,000 people start and grow their businesses. And the people that really thrive and not just succeed from a monetary standpoint, but from a joy standpoint, they're wiser than the noise. And they get more satisfaction and fulfillment and joy from an idea I love to share with people, which is simplify to amplify. Mm. Do less, but better. Do less, but deeper. Do less, but more consistently. And have more space and more grace for magic. If you fill up every single moment of every single day, if your calendar is packed, if you've got 10-minute and 15-minute meetings, we're both getting heart palpitations right now. What the hell is the point?
No.
There's no point. And again, we're not built to be machines. So we're living in this era where there's so much technology, and in many ways, it's so beautiful. And I feel so grateful to have been born when I was born and to be doing what I'm doing and to use technology to have so much of what I'm passionate about shared with so many people. Like, it's such a gorgeous thing. And at the same time, we can't be blind to the downsides of that pressure that many of us think that we need to be everywhere all at once. And also the addiction to growth for growth's sake. More is not always better. Bigger is not always better. And I think that culturally, we've been so trained to just grab for more and reach for bigger. And that's the only sign of like health and success. And again, it's bullshit.
It's bullshit. And I'm so happy that you are such a strong, powerful presence in this space because you've definitely taught me that. Mm. And there are a lot of people, very successful entrepreneurs, who will tell you that you need to be on every social media platform. You need to post 6 times a day across all of them. That is their methodology to succeeding. And I can tell you that having you in my ear was one of the reasons I moved from sharing everything on social to building a shitty website. It was so bad because I didn't have the money yet to really put behind it what I wanted to. But I knew from focusing on building something that was mine.
Yes.
Instead of growing, I love how you talk about like the rent on social media. And
You don't want to build your business on rented property.
So good.
Yeah, because it all is rented property. And you want to be able to, and this is for our business owners and our creators out there, social is amazing. It's an amazing top of funnel. It's an amazing awareness builder. It's an amazing connection builder. There's so many beautiful parts to it, but you have to be strategic. And you want to build your own connection with your own audience that you own, especially, and you know, we're recording this in 2024, when between Google and Apple, and there's so many technological changes that impact how you are able to connect with your audience, you've got to have diversification there so that you own your connection so that it can't be taken away.
Exactly. And people look to the number of followers as this metric of success.
Yeah.
And it's so wild to me that a lot of people I know with some of the most massive followings haven't learned how to build it into something that you can actually monetize.
Yeah, and they don't have a sustainable, profitable business underneath it. So you're speaking into right now, and again, that's not a horrible thing. Some people, you know, if you don't have training and you don't understand really what you're building and why, and so you don't have clarity on your vision, you don't have clarity on your goals, both the mission of your company, your business, anything that you're creating, and also the financial goals to it. Like I always say this, I love money and I love inspiring people to love money, not over people or values, but it's like, what happens when you pour love onto your health and your body?
It blossoms.
It transforms. What happens when you pour the energy of love into your relationships?
It expands.
And it becomes the most enriching and loving thing. So I'm always asking the question, like, why do we hold our financial lives over in the corner and we don't want to pour love into that area of our life too? And so having clarity on your business goals and having really clear financial goals that you want to hit, targets you want to hit, it makes you think in a whole completely different way. And so rather than chasing vanity metrics, what you're really chasing is, oh, sustainable growth that's joyful. How much do I need to make? What is that going to look like? How can I create something where I can employ amazing people, make a huge difference in the world, earn a great living, and create financial freedom for myself? Like that's possible for every entrepreneur. And that's how I want them thinking rather than paying attention to vanity metrics, which, you know, likes don't pay the bills.
They do not pay the bills. I mean, maybe for a short period of time.
Sure.
Right.
But most of it's unsustainable.
100%. When I was pregnant with Eleanor, I was introduced to Ritual because I was searching high and low for a prenatal that I could actually trust. And Ritual is made with traceable ingredients. So why Ritual? Their multivitamins are vegan, non-GMO, project verified, gluten and major allergen free, and they're made more traceable. This brand is so transparent with their ingredients that first of all, you try it and then you trust it, which is why we keep coming back. This clinically backed multivitamin has 9 key nutrients in 2 delayed release capsules per day. So you take 2 a day. I take them in the morning after I have breakfast. They are also really gentle on an empty stomach and they have this really nice minty essence. I have tried so many multis that make me gag. The smell, this has none of that. Ritual is a female-founded B Corp, and this means that they hold themselves accountable to not just their company's financial health, but also the health of people and our planet. Visit ritual.com/movewithheart and get 20% off your first month of Ritual that will automatically be applied at checkout. That's ritual.com/movewithheart for 20% off. So can you bring me back to that place where you were in debt and you decided to, because I feel like so many people are there. Where do you begin and how did you start from planting that seed to creating this incredible business and B School and just educating people on how to create these lives that are beyond anything they could have imagined.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to the debt piece. I think that we do a really horrible job in our society, generally speaking, educating young people about finances, right? And so most of us have had some bad experiences with money in different ways, whether we find ourselves in a lot of debt, we've gotten a lot of expensive degrees, maybe we've taken out loans, we don't understand our worth or our earning power, we have no idea what savings and investment. I mean, there's a million different ways that we kind of mess this up early in our lives. And that was certainly me. I was just putting a ton of stuff on credit cards. And like many of us, I came out of school and I was like, wow, there's a lot of debt there. And so I think step one for me and for anyone who's interested in this topic, I was like, I want a debt-free life. I don't do debt. And it felt so heavy in my body. And so step number one was saying, I'm going to tackle this. And how I'm going to tackle this is I'm going to educate myself about money, because I knew that I had messed up ideas inside my own head about my own worth, about how much money was available, what I was capable of earning, what I was capable of having the capacity to have around me. And so I did a deep dive. God, Melissa, I read dozens and dozens and dozens of personal finance books, from the technical stuff to the spiritual stuff to everything in between, just to get my head straight and to clear out some of my own very limiting, very toxic beliefs about my capabilities and what I was possible of doing. So that was step number one for me, was tackling it head on and not putting my head in the sand and setting that clear goal that as quickly as humanly possible, I was going to get debt free while I was building my business. And so what that looked like was a lot of extra shifts, bartending and waiting tables. I cleaned people's toilets. I took every job that I could possibly take. I said no to a lot of things, like when a lot of my friends were getting married and having their bachelorette parties in Vegas or wherever, I told them, I was like, hey, I have this goal. I'm paying off my debt. I can come see you guys and have a meal, but I can't do the trip in Vegas. So there was so many instances where I just took myself out of my social circles because I looked and saw that's where I was spending a lot of money. And I put all of that towards getting debt free. And then I also put all of my extra time into figuring out how that F to start and grow a business amid all of my insecurity and self-doubt. And for me, that was investing in myself. And that's where I just want to be really nuanced here. I was paying off all of the past debt that was like silly, stupid debt that I had accumulated, but I gave myself permission when it was something that was right to invest in myself, even if I created a little more credit card debt, but it was around learning a specific skill. So going to a business conference, hiring someone, doing some type of workshop where it wasn't just an impulse buy, but it was a strategic investment in me and in my future ability to be as successful as I wanted to be. So I just wanted to say that, because it wasn't like I was like, no, you know what I mean? Like I was eating the mac and cheese and I was having my little peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and I was being extremely frugal. And at the same time, I was being wise about my own education because I knew I needed more of it.
It's so great. And one thing that I think that you did too was like share that transparently with your audience as you were building.
100 Like I did not, one of the things I think that I got wrong in the very beginning, because I was so insecure. So to set the stage of this, it was like, I was probably like 23 or so when I started my coaching business, somewhere around there. And again, I knew very clearly, I was like, who the hell's going to hire a 23-year-old life coach? Like, this is stupid. So here's what I did to try and like make myself feel better. I went out and got headshots done that made me look probably at least 10 years older than I was. And then I thought, if I communicated in a really kind of professional way, which at that time, my idea of a professional businesswoman, she had to speak a certain way, which was very highly educated. And I graduated from college, but I don't have a graduate degree or anything past that. And I'm from Jersey. So I make up words all the time. I'm very salty, which has probably come out way more times. You know, the older we get, the more transparent everything becomes, which is, I love it, by the way. But I was trying to be someone I wasn't, and it wasn't working. I couldn't really write. I was trying to write newsletters every week. This was like a very new thing back then. And it just was so stilted. And I got so frustrated that finally I was like, F it. All I can do is be me. So I'm going to talk about my hip hop references, my fitness references. I'm just going to be my saucy, sassy self, goofy, weird things. And I'm going to write all that. And then I started sharing very transparently. I'm like, look, I am just someone who is obsessed with personal development and personal growth. You probably don't have the time to go through all of these books and learn all these things. I'm doing this for myself. Let me help you shorten your learning curve. I'm not pretending to be some sage from the stage. I am a guide on the side. I'm on the journey right along with you. And there was something in telling that truth and not trying to be beyond where I was, that just created all this space and this openness for me to become the best coach I could possibly be in that time. And then I was shameless. I was honestly shameless about wanting to work with people. Like all of my friends that I'd made at the magazine world, I was like, can I be your coach? You don't even have to pay me. I just want to help you get results, because that was my way of building my own skill set and building my own confidence, not from faking it until I was making it, but from legitimately building those skills in the trenches. I did the same thing bartending. People would be like, are you an actress? You know, is that what you do? And I'm like, no, I'm like, I actually teach hip hop and I have this amazing newsletter. And I had a yellow legal pad, Melissa, that was like, do you want to sign up? This is like before anti-can spam laws and all that shit. But I had people put their name and their email down and I would add them to my email list. Like I was as gorilla as they came. And I was as honest and transparent as I could possibly be.
That's what made me fall in love with you, was that you were so yourself. I just remember it so vividly, where it was like Marie Forleo, Gabby Bernstein, and Chris Carr. And I just remember the three of you. And I was like, there was just something about the way that you were all so comfortable being yourselves, and also loved supporting each other. And it was something that made me realize, okay, I was in the same boat of feeling like I had to speak a certain way. I didn't go to a great college. I went to a community college. I didn't feel like I had the education. And I tried to write in a way that was beyond a vocabulary I even understood.
Totally. Been there.
Yeah. And then I was like, wow, when I actually write like I talk, like yes, I'm having a conversation, like that's what connects you to people, when you shed those layers of trying to be something that you're not.
Yes. We call it the friend filter. Like when I'm teaching people copywriting, I'm always like, look, use the friend filter. When you're writing a caption for social, you're writing something for your email list, you're writing anything about your mission, even in your job. If you're employed right now and you're within a team and you need to sell an idea or you need to get initiative started, use the friend filter. And it's not about being inappropriate and it's not about being unprofessional, but it is about having that warmth that you always share with your friends. And, you know, a simple tip that anyone can try is like anything that you're trying to write, open up an email and literally put your best friend's name in there and start talking to them exactly how you would talk to them about whatever this idea is. And yeah, you'll edit lightly, but it's going to be so you, and it's going to be so filled with vibrancy and your unique essence and that enthusiasm and connection about whatever it is that you're trying to communicate about. It'll become irresistible. It sounds so simple, but most of us don't do it because we want to be perceived a particular way. We want to be looked at as smart and accomplished and we know everything. And it's like all that shit just turns people off.
It really does. And I love too how you shared that, like you shied away from describing yourself as an expert or...
Oh yeah. I still shy away from that. People are just like, what do you do? I'm like, which day of the week? Because it's, do you know what I mean? There's some days where I'm reading and researching to interview an amazing guest. There's other days that I'm showing up like this. I get to have a wonderful conversation. There's other days that I'm, you know, working on the business and looking at the marketing for our company, and I discover something. I'm like, oh, great. This is something I can share because it actually works. And I always tell people that. I'm like, I'm from New Jersey. I'm one of those people where if I find the best gelato or I find the best pizza or anything, I'm like, you got to know about this, right? Because it's the best thing ever, in my opinion. And that's really what I do for a living. I find things, I create things, and then I say, hey, I experienced this. It seems to produce amazing results. It's worked for me. Why not give it a try? Maybe it could work for you, or use this as a stepping stone or a framework and then see what other magic you can create. And so I don't want to diminish the experience that's come with 22 years, but I by no means could say I am a lifelong student. I am always in the position of what else can I learn? And I feel like as time goes on, the more and more I realize how little I know and what a vast world there is out there. And I'm friggin' excited to keep learning.
I feel the same way. And it's so, to me, it makes me feel just like more enlightened to be really honest about
that. Yes. And to say, I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea. But one of the things I do always come back to, we were talking about this off camera too, is, you know, this amazing mantra that I learned from my mom and this philosophy of life that everything is figure outable. And this notion that no matter what we face, no matter what we're going to come up against personally or professionally, from the most kind of gnarly little business problems to the most devastating things that we experience in our life, from grief to loss to diagnosis to all the things, that we have this innate power within us to transform or transcend any circumstance that we can face. And so when I have that little mantra in my heart, we can unpack it more. It gives me this sense of invisible confidence. Not that I have to have the answer, but that somewhere in this universe, there's a possibility. Mm. And so my job is to stand up and to ask and to be curious and to be open to either find or create the answer.
I feel like I'm like holding pure gold in my hand. By the way, the title is so inviting because it just feels like something we're all walking around trying to do is figure it all out.
Yes. It's an ongoing, lifelong process because our problems are never going to go away. They don't go away when you make more money. They don't go away. They do. And it's like you have problems. And it's like if you're alive, you're going to have problems. That's just the name of the game. And if you don't see problems as a problem and you see them as an opportunity to create and you see them as an opportunity to show up, then all of a sudden you're like, okay, everything's figure outable. This is a series of steps. It might be frustrating as hell. It might be a pain in the you know what. You might be exhausted, but there's possibility there.
Can you share three of your simple steps in knowing that something is figure outable?
Yes. Okay.
So I love this.
Yes. There's the three rule container, I believe is what you're talking about, right?
Yes.
So when I was starting to work on the book, I remember I was out to brunch with a friend of mine and she had an 8-year-old son. They're like, oh, Marie, what are you working on? I'm like, a new book. And they're like, what's the title? I was like, everything is figure outable. And the 8-year-old was like, no, it's not. And I was like, oh, I was like, first of all, this is awesome. I was like, please tell me more. And he's like, well, we human beings, we can't fly. And I said, well, you know, that's pretty true. We don't have wings. I said, but you have heard of CRISPR, right? Like there's kind of interesting gene editing things happening. And I said, you do know we can get up in airplanes. And he's like, well, okay, yeah. He's like, well, what about this one? He's like, you know, we can't bring my dog that died a few years ago back from the dead. And I was like, well, that's some pet cemetery shit right there. Like that's creepy. But I said, I hear your point. And I said, you do know that scientists are working on some freezing capabilities and dogs have been cloned. I said, but I get what you mean. It's not figure outable yet. And so that kind of sparked me to come up with these three rules. And it's really a container for the notion of everything is figure outable, especially for skeptics out there, which we love skeptics because it means that you're thinking and that's a good thing. So rule number one is that all dreams or all problems are figure outable. Rule number two, if a problem isn't figure outable, it's not really a problem. It's a fact of life or law of nature, like gravity or death. Rule number three, this is the big one. You may not care enough to reach this particular dream or solve this particular problem, and that's okay. You want to go back and find something you really do care about, and we go back to rule number one. So what that container does is it aims your energy and your attention towards that which you most care about. No one will figure anything out if they don't really want to. And so you'll give up, you'll, it's not worth it, whatever. Oh, it's not. No, it's not that it's not figure outable. It's that you don't give enough shits to stay with that long enough to see it through. I think there's this incredible quote. It's a British physicist who says, all things are achievable that exist within the law of nature. I think I just butchered that. We can probably look it up and I'll read it. But the point is that if it doesn't defy the laws of physics, it's figure outable.
And even hearing you say, I think a lot of people try things on because they see other people
doing it. Yeah.
And it's working for them. And then it's like, let me try this thing. And then you start to realize that that thing that looks so shiny and pretty
and easy,
perfect all the time, just as we, right before we started this, I mean, you can definitely hear there will be some moments in this episode where the fire alarm is going off, the pipes are piping, and things are not always what they seem.
Yeah. Well, I think you brought up a really great point. based on the world that we live in right now, it's really easy to observe something from the outside and you see the growth or you see the numbers or you're like, wow, that is incredibly successful. I should be doing that too. And people either consciously or unconsciously get sucked into chasing other people's dreams and goals. I've definitely done it. I remember there was a project a few years ago where a friend of mine had this little jewelry line. And I was like, I want a little jewelry line. And it wasn't a big deal, but it was something like it sparked something. It was like, oh, that's really cute. I should have that too. And I wound up doing it and it was beautiful and it was wonderful and it was sweet. But the amount of effort that it took, there's a phrase that we have in our business, is the juice worth the squeeze? The juice was not worth the squeeze. It was an example of me getting caught up in something that looked really shiny from the outside. And again, it wasn't a big deal, but it wasn't the best, highest use of my time and energy. And I got swept away in seeing what someone else had. Does that make any kind of sense?
Oh my God. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Like, been there, done that a million times over.
Yes. And so I think it takes a lot of discernment and a lot of maturity to stay focused on what is most important to you. And it comes back to what we were just talking about with everything is figureoutable. Like, if you do not care enough about this particular dream and in the realm of business, this particular business model, I'm thinking about you, a membership model. That is an incredibly challenging and beautiful model. And a lot of people are like, I want my own membership site. You're like, okay, buckle up.
Yeah.
Same thing for me with online courses, right? That's the thing that I have just loved doing. And people are like, oh, I just want to throw up an online course. I'm going to be like financially free. I'm like, just strap yourself in. There's a little bit more to it. And I always try and be as honest as possible. It's like there's incredible potential. There's incredible upside to all of these beautiful things that we see people doing. But what you often don't see is the tremendous work underneath and behind the scenes. Like, you're seeing the tip of the iceberg and underneath the water is this huge thing. And if you're willing to put in that work, absolutely you can have those results, but you've got to be in it for the right reasons and you've got to be committed and you've got to be willing to do it for the long term, not for like 6 months. When people tell me like, Maria, I've been doing this for like, you know, so long and nothing's working. I was like, oh, okay, tell me more. How long? And they're like, 3 months. And I was like, you need to sit down. Like, you need to go back. Really, like, don't come to me for at least another year and then we can talk.
It's so true. Because I think we're all just working. A lot of people are working for that instant hit and that result. And I think you really have to ask yourself, what is your goal? Like, what are you building towards? And a lot of the time it's because of what they have seen being done and feel like, why can't I do that too?
Yeah.
It's not completely aligned.
Yeah. And here's a really big lesson. And I think that this is important for all of us to at least consider. Unless you're working in business towards an exit, which that's a very fine goal. You know, if someone's building something, you're like, hey, I want to exit this business. I want to be able to sell it. I'm looking at that in like X time horizon line. And you know what I mean? Like, that's a really clear thing. That's super valid. And that's awesome. And we don't want to discount that. But for me, one of the things that's different is like, I actually want to stay in the game. I like the process of creation and I really, really enjoy what I do. So sustainability has become the new metric for success. And that looks very different than growth at all costs or trying to get someplace super, super fast. It becomes about sustainable, enjoyable, fulfilling process. And that for me is a really tough but exciting game because it requires me to keep blinders on to a certain degree, to not get hooked or seduced by other things out there. And then the game becomes about how much can I enjoy the process? How much can I enjoy evolving? How much can I enjoy what I'm about to create? Not for the necessary outcome, because we cannot predict that. There's no crystal balls in business. I'm really good at what I do, where I'm a very, very good marketer. I'm a very good salesperson. There's tons of shit that I'm horrible at, but there's a few areas that I'm very good. And I have watched over time, over 22 years, you can't predict numbers. There's going to be up years and down years, up launches and down launches. And if you don't enjoy the process, you're going to be miserable.
Miserable.
So you better figure out a way to understand, to your point, what is the goal here? Is the goal for an exit? Then you might have a different strategy. But if your goal is to keep creating and keep evolving and actually have a livelihood and a mission and a career that is ever unfolding and you're in the game, then you've got to find different metrics to pay attention to, and you've got to become the more mature version of yourself that's in it for process and in it for enjoyment of the journey, because the destination is always going to keep changing.
Oh my God, forever. It's like ever evolving, ever changing, ever growing. I mean, you talk a lot about multi-passionate entrepreneurs.
Yes.
And I'm like, that is so me. And also something that I've really learned to accept about myself is that I love getting on the mat and teaching. And I love guiding a workout, but I also love teaching a meditation. And then expanding to the podcast space has cracked me open in ways that I was like, I resisted it for a long time once again, because I think it's a very saturated space.
Yeah.
Where if you pay attention to that, you can just be like, oh, everyone else is doing it. Why is there space for me? But as soon as I tuned that out and I went back to, why do I do everything that I do? What is it that brings me here? And just letting that feeling that I get when I like am showing up to sit with someone like you that I've been wanting to talk to for years, and just like, it's being able to let my passions drive the ship, but
yes,
also really be so tapped into my business. And I used to say too, like, I'm so good at creative, kind of a natural marketer without ever even realizing that I was,
yes,
until I've really learned a lot more about marketing, and also understanding that my business organically built through like my way of marketing, but also would sit back and be like, but I'm not really like, oh, I didn't go to business school. Like, when it comes to the numbers. But I also think you have to have a pulse on that. Like,
yes,
you can't, you know, for me, it was learning that being the CEO and the founder and lead creator didn't mean just sitting in one chair. I'm sitting in multiple chairs wearing multiple hats a day.
Yes.
But I also have learned to really understand, like, that's what keeps me alive.
Yes.
And sets my soul on fire to keep showing up every day. I have been a lover of Osea's products for as long as I can remember. They have been making seaweed-infused products that are not only safe for your skin, but are also safe for the planet for over 27 years. They're clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and taking care of your skin. I'm just going to list off a few of the products that I absolutely love. Their sea mineral mist is like the perfect touch to spraying on your skin and keeping your face like really dewy and hydrated before you do your makeup. And then I also, at the end of my makeup, spray my face with this mist. I keep it in my bag. It's the perfect little boost to your day, especially if you get your makeup done and your makeup starts to kind of cake on your skin, because sometimes makeup artists use a lot more products than you do yourself. And it's just like the perfect way to look good in person and on camera and on videos. Their Hyaluronic C Serum is incredible. This is an anti-aging serum. It's great for all skin types. It's fragrance-free and it soothes and hydrates your skin and keeps your skin like really glowy. If there's anything I can suggest for just women in general, especially women in their teens, their 20s, their 30s, it's to not neglect your body and your body care. I think there's so much focus and emphasis on taking care of your face and your skin, but we neglect our bodies. Their Undaria Collagen Body Lotion, it has this lightweight feel and it just gives your skin this bright, healthy glow in an instant. Every product that you try by Osea is just like top notch, top quality. And if you and your body need a boost of hydration and you're looking for healthy skin with clean vegan body care, Osea has you covered. Right now, they're offering a special discount for our listeners. You can get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MWH10 at oseamalibu.com. Head to oseamalibu.com and use code MWH10 for 10% off. And you'll get free samples. I shamelessly just love a sample with every order and free shipping on orders over $60.
I think you're underscoring something really important too, that I've seen a mistake that some founders can make and some people in the small business space too, is they're getting a lot of coaching and advice that's around this idea. Okay. In order to keep accelerating as a CEO and to be even more of like this very powerful leader in your company, to be that big founder, you have to keep delegating off things that you no longer have to do because now you have a team to support you. And I've seen a lot of founders make this mistake, and I just want to highlight it just in case anyone's doing it right now to give them an opportunity to reconsider. You know, you were just saying how you're a natural marketer in your own way. Like, this is what you do. You share your message. You have your very specific way of doing it. I've seen a lot of people then bring on a CMO or bring on a whole kind of marketing team or outsource it to an agency. And then all of a sudden the business starts to fall down because they've delegated out something that is so true to them. It comes so naturally because let's be real. There's never going to be anyone more passionate about your business than you. I have the most amazing team in the world. I bow down to them every single day. They are brilliant. I couldn't do anything that I'm doing right now without their assistance. And I know that when it comes to the lifeblood of the business as a personal brand, I'm never delegating that away. Never.
Ever.
And so for anyone right now who's a founder and listening, if you've gotten the advice like, oh no, that should be off your plate. You just need to be the visionary. You just need to be in this kind of super highfalutin, you know what I mean? Like just a throne of a place, just doing this. I'm like, that is a cautionary tale to me because I think it gets you so far away from the pulse of your business. It takes you out, especially if it's something that you enjoy and that you're good at, out of a lane where you are in direct creative connection with your audience and you are driving sales. Never let that go. It's the lifeblood of the business.
Oh, the way you speak, I get all fired up because it's so true. And it is one of the biggest things that I've learned in the past couple of years, starting as such a small team and growing to an incredible team around me, but also to really learn that I have to understand everything.
Yes.
I don't need to be really good at every single thing. But I need to understand.
Yeah. So that you can evaluate when people are showing you reports or they're giving you data or they're making recommendations, that you can get in there and understand the why underneath it or how does this all connect, and seeing the connective tissue between all the different departments in the business so that you understand if someone does an initiative or you guys make an investment or you try a campaign and whether it soars or it flops, both will happen to all of us, that you can start to step back and not just delegate it out. People like, everyone else, they should be figuring that out for you. I'm like, maybe I'm a little too much of a control freak, but it's like, no, I want to know what's happening. I want to be able to speak intelligently with my team. And I also want to contribute my own creative ideas because that's why I got into this in the first place, you know?
Yes. I mean, I've spent a lot of my time in the bathroom Googling CAC and LTV and all the things.
All those silly acronyms.
But I really learned because I was like, I have to know.
Yeah.
Everything means that. Yeah. I am telling you, I knew nothing.
But this is what's cool though. You don't have to know everything, right? The whole notion, which we talk about, start before you're ready. It's like dive in, get messy. Most of us don't know it all. I am learning every single day and there's things that are changing every day. So you don't have to feel intimidated. If you don't know all those terms, it's like Google's your best friend.
Best friend.
And then if you have good business buddies, which everyone needs good business buddies, that is so important because it's not a walk in the park and it's not all rainbows and daisies and like popping champagne or money spitting out of your computer. It's like, no, dude, farthest thing from that. It's like a lot of crying in the corner, a lot of like, oh, wow, that technology thing that was working so beautifully, like it just decided not to work anymore because all of these different pieces of software behind the scenes just updated X, Y, or Z and no one's talking anymore. It's like, this is the kind of problem solving, the everything is figure outable that we deal with every day, the non-glamorous stuff. People are like, oh, it's so easy. It's like, it's not, but that's part of the fun.
Right.
It's like we don't grow if we only do easy things. We need challenges. They're going to come no matter what. So you might as well embrace them.
You might as well embrace them.
Yeah.
Can you share with us about the B School that I'm just like enamored by?
Yes.
What you've created and really just the sustainable growth. And it's so incredible. I mean, knowing what it takes to keep something, not only to start something, but to keep it alive and to keep watering it and to keep just excelling it to a level of true excellence. I feel like you are just such a pioneer in the space. What can people expect from that?
Yeah. So B-School, for anyone that doesn't know, it's our online business school that helps modern entrepreneurs both make money and make a difference. The reason I started it was because back in the day when I was starting my business and the world of kind of online marketing, digital anything was super new. And I had to go to all these different places to try and learn about small business entrepreneurship. And every conference I went to, they would talk about customers like they were nothing more than numbers on the bottom of a balance sheet. And it was all about like, let's extract as much profit as possible. And like, you know, and I was just like, oh God, like, I understand, but no, like, and then there was no style and there was no humor and there was no aesthetic. And I was like, this sucks. So I remember when I was a Nike athlete. And so I'm going around the world and I'm teaching dance and I'm teaching hip hop. And so many, honestly, mostly women would come up to me and they'd say, God, you're really good at what you do and you've had this coaching business. Like, how is all this happening? And I would tell them it's because of sales and marketing. I can teach you. And they'd be, no. I'm the creative person. I have this idea for something, but I'm going to get someone else to manage the business side of it. And the Jersey girl in me would like want to take them and shake them and like lovingly slap them because I'm like, no, you know, like you're so much more powerful than you're giving yourself credit for. This is just a skill set. Let me teach you. And they'd be like, it's like a used car salesman. I don't want to be pushing. I'm like, no, like that slow no. And I really realized there was this huge necessary, this open gap for people that are super heart-based, that have so much to give this world in terms of their products and their services. They may not necessarily have MBAs. They may not necessarily want to go raise venture capital or anything like that, but they have something that deserves to be born, a product or service they believe in, but they are woefully uneducated around modern sales and marketing and how to do it in a way that aligns with their integrity and their creativity. So that's why I created B-School, was because I wanted to give small business owners the tools to not only succeed in this new digital economy, but to do so in a way that was full of integrity and values and their unique personality so they could stay out in the marketplace. So that's what B-School is. It's an online course. It's been around for now 15 years. We've helped over 80,000 business owners start and grow their businesses. Everything from fishing to farming to fashion to apps, like 684 different industries, Melissa, from like 164 countries and territories. So it's been road tested and it's wild. And I've actually had people, this is like both sad and funny, but it's kind of reflects on some of the things we've talked about. I've had colleagues been like, how are you still doing this? Like, don't you get bored? And I was like, it's kind of a weird backward ass comment. Like, how are you doing the same thing over and over again? But it's like when I'm changing people's lives and like, this is something that happened in, I was living in Venice, California for a bit and I was at Erewhon, which by the way, that place. I'm like, why is it not New York yet? I keep hearing rumors.
I heard it's coming.
Yeah. And I'm going to be the first one there. Which is stupid. Like I have like basically holes in my socks because I don't spend on shit that I don't care about. But when it comes to well-being and really good food, I'm like, I'm there with both credit cards out. I'm like, ooh, let's do it. Anyway, I was in Erewhon. A woman came up to me in the grocery line and she was like, are you Marie Forleo? I was like, yeah. She's like, oh my God. You know, she's like, I had wanted to take your B-School and I was at a really rough place in my life. I was just about to have my daughter. I was almost homeless. All this stuff was happening. It was a really rough patch. And the only way I could figure out how to come to B-School is I had to sell my couch. And I was just like sitting there like, wait, where's this going? And she's like, it was the best thing that I ever did in my life. I now have a multiple six-figure business. My daughter's education is fully funded. I am a new woman. And like, I'm almost going to cry because we've heard stories like that so many times. And I say that because it's those humans. That's why I do it. That's why I haven't moved on to the next thing. That's why we keep trying to make it better and more accessible and more effective every single year, because I know what has happened in my life from learning these skills, from being that like failure in so much debt and felt so much shame, but knew I had something to share with the world. And then gaining this skill set and then being able to do it and create financial freedom for myself and my family and then be able to help other people do it. It's like, why would I ever stop doing that? So B-School is like one of the ways that we do it because I understand how hard it is and how overwhelming it is to want to share something with the world and to go like, I have no freaking clue how to do this. Like, where do I start? And what you were talking about in the beginning, now it's like, well, do I need to be on TikTok 24/7? Do I need to have the best YouTube show ever? How about Instagram and the reels and the posts and the this and the lives and the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da? Again, we want to take a nap, yeah, all of us, so, because it's so much.
So much.
So I feel like one of my gifts in the world is being able to take very complex things and break them down into simple, actionable plans that create results. I do this for myself as someone who has ADHD and has a brain that goes in a gajillion places. Like, I'm certifiably bonker pants. Like, you know what? I am. And I embrace that. I'm all over the place. So everything that I teach, I've had to do this to corral my own wild creativity. And because we've road tested it for so long, I'm like, this shit works.
It does.
You know, so that's a little bit about B-School.
I mean, it just resonates with me on such a deep level. Because when you hear these stories, it just fuels you in a way. Like, I always say that. Like, I'm forever fueled by the feedback and the testimonials and the stories and people's, like, evolution. Like, it's so powerful. First of all, to see yourself transform first, yes, to like know that it works, but
yes,
then to hear stories from people all over the globe.
Yes.
It's like,
I mean, this is what you do so beautifully, right? In your work, where you're taking this whole realm of wellness and fitness and feeling good in our bodies every single day. And I think one of the things I admire so much about you is, like, so much of your content is like, hey, you don't have to be on the mat necessarily for like 13 hours a day. You know what I mean? And it's like, can we do it for 10 minutes? Can we do it for 15? Can we do it for 20? Like, having these little bite-sized bits of progress every single day where you start to build that consistency. And that's what's amazing. And that's how we all change. And so you do such a brilliant, incredible job of that.
Thank you so much. I mean, coming from you, that means so much to me. Just being the multi-passionate entrepreneur that you are, and
yes,
doing all the things and doing it all, I say with excellence, because it's just like, you give, to me, it's when you show up with excellence, you give everything that you have to give. And it just really shines through. It has over all these years. How do you take care of yourself? Like, what is your practice?
Oh my gosh, I have lots.
Okay.
And I vary them. I always tell people, like, especially when it comes to morning routines and things. So we have, I have to get you access to this too. We have a program called Time Genius, which I think you would love. And it's all about
need
in this
there.
World. Yes, yes, yes.
As no, I showed up late.
Yes. All of us, we create things for ourselves. Like, for me, it was like, oh, I started finding myself, this was a couple years ago, getting into a place where I felt so depleted. And I was doing all of my normal things, like my meditation, my working out, my eating right, my sleeping right, but nothing was working. And I found myself waking up every morning, Melissa, and this is really scary, feeling like levels of depression and anxiety that I had never experienced before. I'm like, whoa, dude, what is happening? I won't go into the whole spiel, but essentially, I just really uncovered what a dysfunctional relationship that I had developed with time and productivity, and how I was putting so much pressure on myself to just burn it at both ends forever and ever and ever. And I was like, I need to flip this. I need a new way, a new paradigm around time and around how I'm spending it. And one of the things that came out, not only of me healing myself in that realm, but of this course, was just really taking a fresh look at morning routines. And I'm sure this will align with you. I have a feeling you'll let me know. But my morning routine actually shifts based on my primary project. So primary project is something that I call whatever you're working on in this stage or season of your life, that's like the most important thing for you right now. Sometimes it might be healing from a particular health issue. Other times it might be a business project. There might be something happening with your family. You might have a few of them where it's like, I know for me in my business at this moment, there is a new thing that we're developing, and I know that's my primary project. And so I'll give you an example. When Everything Is Figureoutable was coming out, and I knew that I wanted to launch the book in a very unique way, the download I got was, what if a Beyonce concert, a TED Talk, and a block party had a baby? That should be my book launch party. So we wound up doing this thing at the Hammerstein Ballroom, which was essentially a concert. I'd never done a concert before. I'd never hired backup dancers before. I'd never done that whole thing. And while I was getting ready for that concert, that was my primary project. So in the mornings, when I was getting ready to do that concert, my morning routine was about working out, And it was about fueling my physical body because I had to perform on stage in front of thousands of people and I wasn't as conditioned as my Nike athlete days, right? Converse that or contrast that with if I'm building a new program, I'm not going to start my mornings actually working out. I'm going to start my mornings writing. Why? Because that morning time for me, I've discovered, is like the most magical window of when I get the downloads to put on the page. So I shifted my workouts later to the afternoon so that I could really use the morning routine to set me up to accomplish my primary project of the time. Does that make sense?
Oh, total sense.
So it's like giving people permission. So for me, getting back to the answer of like, what do I do to stay fueled? It's always tied to whatever the primary project of the time is. So like, meditation for me is pretty consistent, but when I do it varies on what I really want to get done in those early magical morning hours before the rest of the world starts kind of grabbing at you. You know what I mean? And the fires come up and you got to put them out. You know what else is really big for me? Dance. I am a dancer, always will be, always have been. Dance is huge. Physically moving is really huge. I have to say, I'm very, very excited to try more of your things. I was looking this morning and I was like, oh, I can't wait.
I was all over you this morning. Like,
I can't wait because moving for me physically is the main way that my creative channel opens up. It's like I could sit there pounding on the keys and thinking like, oh, this is so good. And the moment I get into a studio, get on the mat, start moving, it is as though downloads and a connection happens that honestly doesn't happen any other way. I love being with Josh. Like my partner and I have been together. Oh my gosh, in a few days, it's going to be 21 years.
Wow.
Yes. So him and I spending time together, we do the simplest things. I mean, like cooking meals. Last night, we've never watched any of these until The Golden Bachelor, but now we're like, we watched The Bachelor. We're like, this is so stupid. And it was so fun. So you know what it is? Just like silly stuff.
Yeah.
Taking walks around the city.
Favorite.
You know what I mean? That's really, it's like music and dance. Like the simple stuff is what fills me up.
Oh, I'm so there with you. And people always ask me like, what is the most optimal time to work out or the best time to do this? And I think you have to go off. Like it's so personal.
Yes.
And it's hard for me to mold my exact morning routine onto someone and tell them that's exactly what they should do.
Yes.
Because we're all fueled in different ways. And I mean, I can say too for myself, one of the reasons why I know that I have built everything I've built is from being so consistent with my movement and meditation practice, because it's where I become the most creative. When I'm not moving, it's so crazy how the shift, like it's like stale.
Yep.
There's nothing flowing.
Yes.
And it's truly because I think we need to move that energy.
100%. There's so much wisdom in our bodies that we're just living in a time and in a culture right now that's so sedentary. And we've become so sedentary in terms of most of our jobs. If you're any kind of knowledge worker, I mean, you know, I remember one of the good things about the days when I was bartending and waiting tables is I was on my feet all the time. And simultaneously, I was teaching fitness as part of my career. So it was like there was so much movement. And I honestly think that helped fuel so much of my initial energy and success because I was constantly moving. That means I was constantly getting those downloads. Nothing was getting stagnant. And now as the business has grown, like it is a challenge and I have to keep building in non-negotiable time so I'm moving as much as humanly possible.
It's essential.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, I used to do it for every other reason in the book when I was, my relationship with self was so different. And
yes.
I think I was like, wanted to look a certain way. And then through just maintaining this relationship with self, it's just become this crucial ingredient for like really strengthening my mind.
Yes.
And 100%. Opening up the channels.
I actually think that's the next frontier. Like that's something I'm really interested in with the new thing that we're building and moving forward because it's been so transformative in my life. And I think that integrated learning in terms of we're learning concepts and we're learning new possibilities and ideas from an intellectual perspective, but how do we then integrate that physically? How do we integrate that emotionally? And how do we use movement and music to rewire us on a neurobiological level and to clear out a lot of emotions that hold us back when we're just sitting in the chair? You know what I mean? And so that's the place where I'm starting to play in. And I just think it's so exciting. And it's so much more freaking fun.
Way more.
Like so much more fun. You you don't get as tired. Everything seems to land on a deeper level and it takes less time.
It really does.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to finally, after all these years, to sit down with you and just to have you share your voice, your wisdom, your presence, and just everything that you've created. It's changing so many people's lives. And I so honestly have to tell you, I have taken every free webinar. I remember too, when I was like first starting out, I was like, every free class. And now I'm going to do the B-School.
Yay!
Like, I feel like I'm on this,
this moment
where I'm just like, you said a few things in the beginning when you were like, this is for you. If you're like, there's something else and you haven't, you know.
Well, for, you know, in terms of B-School, what's really exciting about it is like we've had folks that come through the program who are totally new, right? And they know they want a business, but they need some type of structure. They're like, what do I do first, second, and third to like really put form into this thing? And then we've had another whole, probably more of our students, they're established business owners, many of them very successful, multi-million dollar business owners who have like hit a little bit of a plateau, or they're just like, I just want a fresh perspective. I just want to open up. I want to think in new ways. I want to be exposed to things that maybe I learned once or I'm not really practicing. Do you know what I mean? And so the thing that I love so much about B-School is it's based on timeless principles that always work. So regardless of how algorithms change, because here's one thing that most people don't realize. When you get the messaging right, and when you're able to really connect with people on an emotional level, when your ideal customer avatar is so dialed in and you're connected with them energetically, the medium, whatever platform, it doesn't matter. But when you've got the right messaging and you have some of those kind of deeper fundamental ideas and those are getting activated, you can start applying them across any platform in all these interesting ways. And the platforms we haven't even considered yet because they're not around yet, but you have this skill set that serves you for the life of your business. And no one can ever take that away. And that's the thing that I think is so exciting about the program, because people come back. Once you're a B-Schooler, you're a B-Schooler for life. So you come to take the program every year for free. We never charge you again.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
It's amazing. So every year you can get coaching. Every year you can refresh. And so it just becomes this place where you can constantly come back, almost like coming back to the mat and doing your practices again to get yourself resettled.
Oh, that's amazing. And you're constantly changing the modules and...
We're always tweaking. We're always updating the resources. And every time I learn new things, I bring it to class.
Right. Ah, it's incredible. Where can everyone find you? Tell us.
Yes. So B-School, if you're interested in that, you can just go to joinbschool.com. Depending on the time of the year, it's not always open. So you definitely want to jump when it's available. And then marieforleo.com. We've got, gosh, hundreds and hundreds of free Marie TV episodes. There are so many free resources, whether it's about your mindset, about your business, about everything. I mean, the Marie Forleo podcast is awesome. You can just subscribe and just let that run. And if you've enjoyed this conversation and my zany energy, you'll just get a lot more of that. And then on Instagram, it's at Marie Forleo.
And you have Marie TV?
Yeah, Marie TV. So it's, if you go on YouTube and you just search Marie Forleo, you'll come upon our channel. I think there's probably, I don't know, 400, 500 episodes in there.
Incredible. One last question.
Yeah.
Because this podcast is called Move With Heart.
Yes.
I'd love to know what it means to you to move with your heart.
Moving with heart means moving with joy and being willing to stand in the uncertainty of the moment with full inner confidence that you're going to be able to dance with whatever comes next.
Ooh, that is so good. You're incredible. Thank you so much for
being
here with me.
This is such a joy.
Such a joy.
Yay!
I hope you enjoyed that episode. We have a special offer for our Move With Heart listeners. When you join MWH as a new member, you will receive an entire month, that's 30 days for free. And this is in addition to our 7-day free trial. All you have to do is head to melissawoodhelp.com and use code MOVEWITHHEART. At MWH, we believe this practice is not just about building this body you desire. This work is about building a better, stronger relationship with yourself. And that is why we offer everything from movement, meditation, and nutrition to help you not only look, but most importantly, feel your best.
follow me on Instagram at Melissa Wood Tepperberg and MWH at Melissa Wood Health. Tune in for an all new episode next week, and I cannot wait to see you all on the mat.